Good day. I'm Pastor Mark Church, and welcome again to Revival Today. I want to let you know that God has a plan for you, even in the midst of your chaos. Thank you.
Back in the day, we used to sing songs that would move the hearts and touch the hearts of people. And now we're in a generation where we want everything right now. But the song began to say, have thy own way, Lord. Mold me and shape me. Have your way in my life. I believe that many of us are here, and we're here not because we have it all going together, but because we're broken and we need some fixing. If there's anyone perfect among us, let him stand now. I want you to know that God is a God of deliverance and forgiveness, and he wants to meet the needs of your life. There's something that's going on in your life today, and you said to yourself, well, Lord, I've been serving you for a long time, and I'm still struggling. How many been there? How many have been in a situation where you said, Lord, I want you to use me, but as he began to use you, everything around you just falls apart? I want you to know that we have to understand that Jesus said to the disciples, if you want to follow me, you have to turn everything else loose and surrender to my will. I'm going to talk to the body this morning because God has given me a word. God has a plan for you even in the midst of chaos. Look at somebody and say, God has a plan for me even in the midst of chaos. We're living in a time right now where the country is breaking apart. People don't know how to love one another, don't know how to treat one another. Even in the households, children are running away. There seems to be no peace. And I'm going to speak to the body today because I have a word from the Lord for you today. I want you to know that God has a plan for your life, even in the midst of your chaos. And he said, you have to be an individual that knows who I am and trust in my word. The Bible says, trust the Lord with all your heart and what? Lean not to what? Your own understanding. There's things that we're going through that causes us to say, wow, I don't understand. Just like the brother testified, he's always trying to get an understanding. That's why you have to understand that when you trust God, you just trust him just because. Uh-oh. I'm going somewhere with this word. If you turn with me to Mark 6:1, I'm going to talk about the experience that Jesus had. And I'm going to show you how Jesus works even in the midst of trouble. Everybody that I know, when we read the story about Christ, we talk about how good and how great he was. And some of us even fantasize, wow, I wonder what it would be like to be a disciple, to hang out with Christ. I'm going to show you in scripture what happened as Jesus was healing. There was chaos going on behind the scenes. When Jesus was releasing miracles over people's lives, there was stuff going on behind scenes. And so many times we fantasize or we look into scripture and we get excited about these great miracles, but you have to understand that in a miracle, there has to be preparation in order for a miracle to take place. A miracle doesn't just happen. The Bible says, where it says to the people of God, it said, if my people that are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then he said, I'll heal the land. The healing does not come until you get to doing some turning. It doesn't come when you just guesstimate or you say, well, maybe it will happen. No, God said, if my people, wasn't talking about those that don't know him. He was talking about us. So in this scripture, it says here, I'm going to get started with the word. Jesus was with his disciples and they were doing great works and they were praying and healing the sick. So I got some stuff that I want to bring to your attention this morning about how it went down. So the disciples were with Christ and they loved to be with him and they were seeing the many works he'd done. So I'm going to show you what he began to say to the disciples. It says in Mark 6:1, it says, Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. So he left where he was at, and then he went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. And check out what happened in his home. Because I'm going to go somewhere. Before we get to the miracles, we got to see what's going on at home. Say, we got to see what's going on at home. Say to somebody, we got to see what's going on at home. Jesus said to them in the next verse, 6:4 says, Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his home, in his own town, among his relatives, and in his own home. He could not do any miracles there except lay hands on a few sick people and heal them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. Someone said lack of faith. Jesus was talking to the disciples and he said, you see the miracles that I do? I can't do them at home. He said, the scripture says that the prophet is not honored, is not without honor except his hometown. What it was is everywhere else the prophet go, they had honor. They were lifted up. They were built up. But when he got home, all he could do is lay hands. No miracles were happening. How many of you want to see God do a miracle in your life? You got something going on in your life, you say, Lord, I want deliverance. The scripture that God had placed in my heart is this, is that there are things going on around us, but what we do is we get in trouble because we feel that it's we're hurting at home, so that means God ain't working. Oh, at home ain't perfect, so God is not working. Jesus was trying to teach the disciples. He said, guess what? When you go home, sometime you're not received. You can't do the mighty works that I have for you because of the lack of unbelief around you. Say unbelief around me. Somebody that you're in relationship with or talking with, sometime they don't believe in you. But you cannot build on that. You have to build on relying on Christ's word. And I'm going somewhere with this because I want to show you how to become established in a way so that you can grow spiritually. How many want to grow spiritually? So Jesus told his disciples, he said, a prophet is not going to be honored in his own home. Everywhere else he goes, he was able to do great works. He was able to raise the dead. He was able to do mighty miracles. And right now, every movement that's out there today, everybody wants to see a big, great miracle. Everyone says, I want to see where God does mighty things again. And Jesus began to say, one of the reasons why it's not going down no more is because of lack of faith. So the body has lost it's faith. I want you to turn to the next scripture. So Jesus was with his disciples and he began to preach and do all kinds of things. Now this is what he was doing. In 6:12 it says, they went out and preached that people should repent. Number one, what did Jesus do? He preached that people should repent. Reason why we're living in a tough time right now, a dark day, is because now we don't want to preach repentance. We want to tell everybody they're okay the way they are. You stay the way you are and you're going to be just fine. When Jesus is trying to change your life and move stuff out of your life. But he cannot do it when you won't do what? Repent. Repent, it means surrender to the word of God and say, Lord, I need you in my life. So Jesus went out with his disciples and they were preaching, and he also made sure that they understood to repent. Now, during this whole time while Jesus is preaching and talking about repenting, guess what? There was another one behind Jesus, which was his cousin. And this is where I'm going to go into the chaos. Jesus was preaching about repenting. And John the Baptist was preaching, saying, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he was sowing into people's lives, and lives were being changed. His own cousin. But now John the Baptist ended up in jail. And while John the Baptist was in jail, Jesus was out doing miracles and blessing people and doing mighty works. But in his own home, there was things going wrong all around him. And instead of Jesus turning around saying, I'm going back home, I got to take care of this stuff, he continued to do the work of his father, not saying that we don't want to tend to what's going on at home. But God is trying to get the people to understand is this. You're living in a place that keeps on breaking you because you think that's where you're supposed to be. No, where you're supposed to be is in the will of your father. When you do the will of God, guess what? Even when it hurts at home or something is going wrong in your life, guess what? You're still going to see great works and mighty miracles. But they can't happen because you keep on relating your relationship to God with your situation at home. And God is saying it's time to get about my business and see me do a mighty work. So right here it says they went out and they preached, and they preached the word to repent. The next in the 13 says, they drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. Someone say healed them. So this is what was going on. They were praying, they were anointing, and they were casting out demons. While they were casting out demons, in the next scripture that I have, if you turn with me to Mark 6, 14 through 16. And remember, this is NIV, so as you're reading it, I want everyone to understand. King Herod heard about this, for Jesus' name had become well known. Some were saying, John the Baptist has been raised from the dead, and that is why miracles' powers are at work in him. So people begin to say great works were happening because John the Baptist had raised him from the dead. So they started saying the reason why these miracles are showing up is because of John the Baptist rising from the dead. And then the next part it says, others said he is Elijah. And still others claim he is a prophet like one of the prophets of long ago. So went back to old school like I did with the song, went back to old school. So they begin to say, you know what? These great miracles are happening through Jesus. And then instead of them saying because of the relationship Jesus had with the Father or that he was a son of God, they tried to find why he was able to do these great works. So some said, well, it must be Elijah. He's a mighty prophet. Maybe he's working through Jesus. So they would speculate. You know how we do with our relationship with God? We speculate, well, you know, I maybe could do this if I do that. No, they didn't know the man Jesus yet. They didn't know of him. So now all these works are going down, and he's healing and raising people up from the sick bed, and now they're at a place of questioning him. But now this is where the story changes, because I want you to see right here in the scripture, King Herod was a man that respected John the Baptist. But because of some of the things that happened around him, he was forced to take the life of John the Baptist. See, so they were saying John the Baptist has been raised from the dead. Go ahead. And then mm-hmm. See, so right here in that scripture, the next one, go on to the next. The next one, so now Herod said, the man that I just killed is doing these great works. So now he's scratching his head and saying, something's going on. I want you to see the back scene. Jesus was doing all this healing. John the Baptist is his cousin. Turn to someone that said, that's his family. He was doing all these works, and now John the Baptist sitting in jail. And what? Let's see what went down next. Read the next part. See, so right there, let's stop right there. John had went to Herod and said, listen, I know what you're doing. You're messing with your brother's wife. And because of that, see, when you preach the gospel or when you work against sin, the enemy is not happy. When you try to change your life, don't you understand that the enemy is not happy? He's not going to sit or idle while you change. He's going to try to bring chaos in your environment so that you blame God. And this is where I'm going with the message today, is the enemy is going to try to distract you by things that are going on at home. And if you don't understand that God is trying to do a greater work in you, you're going to get caught up in the situation around you. See, so right there in the 18th verse, it said that Herod had a relationship with him. But guess what? Right here, he began to tell him what he was doing wrong in his life. Sometimes we need to understand that God first, before he can bless us, he has to change some things that are going on in our life. And a lot of times we want the miracles and the great healing, but we don't want change. You ever see that? Everybody wants to just come to the altar and get some change. They want the man of God to lay the hands on them and they get change. But before change can come, you have to get to the place called repentance. And when you get to repentance, that's when change starts to take place. So, go ahead, read the next part. See, so right here in the scripture it says, Herod had a relationship with him. And that relationship that he had with him, he was also protecting him. But this is where the chaos shows up. And this is where I'm going with the word today, and I'm not going to keep you much longer. Here's where the chaos showed up. Let's go on. See, so now Herod is having this big party, having a big banquet, and he brought in all his boys. You know how we do? You ever see how people just get ready for a party? They fix up the house. They have their boss coming, someone important. How do? We start to change everything. And it's funny. Think about it. A lot of people don't want to change, but when it's time to impress somebody that they want to impress, what do? We change a lot of things. You don't keep your house looking the same. If you know your boss is coming to your house, you don't leave things laying all in the living room. Is that correct? See, so right here, he knew that all this was ready to go down. There was a big party. So he began to do some things to get ready because all of his men, all those leaders were coming by, military captains, bosses. I need you to see this, is that a lot of times in our life, we want God to bring change, but we don't want to change. And we don't want to clean up and get ready for what's ready to go down. If you want a miracle, you have to believe. But in order to believe, you have to maintain your belief. So I'm going somewhere with this word. So right here, Herod began to do a great dinner. He began to prepare for the men and the captains to come by. So this is what went down after. Go ahead. Daughter came in dancing. Go ahead. Now, right here, this is where the chaos showed up. This king had a relationship with John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a relative of Jesus. And the Bible says that John the Baptist went and he prepared the way of Christ. Now, this is where we go off, like the brother was saying, where you were testifying about when things aren't in place, it's a lot. Well, if you were called to prepare the way of Christ, that was your job. John the Baptist, that was his job. He was supposed to get everything ready for him. And now he's in trouble, and the one he prepared everyone to receive is not there for him. Now, right there, that would throw you off, and it would cause you to say, you know what? I don't believe in him no more. You see where I'm going with this? How many had someone in your life that wasn't there when you needed them? And then after that event happened, all of a sudden, instead of you realizing that, we have to understand that God is always with you, but there's going to be some things that go down in your life for you to be proven. So even John the Baptist, while he was in jail, he knew the word of God. He knew that Jesus was mighty and he could do great works. And he healed the sick and raised the dead. But now he's sitting in jail in trouble. And now he's saying to himself, this Jesus that I had as a cousin, he's not here to deliver me. And the reason why? Check this out. He went to jail and he was in prison and he was beheaded because of a young lady. So read what happened to her. Up to half of his kingdom because she was dancing in front of his friends. She pleased them. Now, I need you to understand, it was all because he wanted to impress. He actually threw John the Baptist under the bus. He respected him. Some of us sit around and say, well, you know, Lord, I do a lot at church and I'm a blessing. I teach Bible study. I teach Sunday school. And you know, nothing should happen to me because I'm good. And John the Baptist is sitting in prison and he's about to lose his life because of a young lady dancing. Just, you see where I'm going with this? Because she pleased the king so much, he was willing to give half of what he had. And then he's John the Baptist preaching that Jesus is coming and that he's done all these great works and you sitting in jail and you're about to lose your life and he's not looking for you. I want the church to know that chaos is coming, that things are coming. The Bible says in the last day, a lot of things are going to go down. But the church is trying to make things happen so that they find themselves ready. But the Bible says no man will know the time, nor the day, nor the hour when Jesus is coming back. See, so you can't be like the King Herod where he made everything right for his buddies. No, you have to live life every day right. Meaning this is that we can't be perfect, but you have to have a heart that desires to please the Lord. But as you go forward spiritually, don't you know things are going to go wrong around you? But God is trying to get us to see that, are we still going to trust in him with all our heart and lean not to our own understanding? In all our ways acknowledge him? Or are we going to look at our situation that's going on at our house and in our home and at our job, and then now we start to say to the Lord, well, you're not able. Jesus said the reason why the prophet cannot do a greater work in his home because of what? Unbelief. There's somebody that might not believe in you, and because they don't believe in you, you stop believing in you. God wants you to work out your own soul salvation. You can't put it off on your loved ones. That's where we mess up. We put it off on our loved ones. We say, well, my wife, my husband, my boss did this, and God's saying, none of that matters to me. Even like John the Baptist, he lost his head because a young woman seduced the king. And then all of a sudden, he was ready to give up everything he had. And some of us are those that have been saved for a while. And somebody did us wrong, then we walk away from the cross. We walk away from our relationship with God because we said, God ain't with us. I know it looks like chaos that's going on around you. But Jesus said it's all about believing.
Well, that's another episode of Revival Today. We hope and pray that you enjoyed it and that you are moved by the message. I want to know that my audience is listening. So we're asking that you write us, that you come and visit us, that you come and be part of our online church community. Come and visit us Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at 1850 Elm Street, Manchester, New Hampshire. We're starting our building fund to build a church in the city. So we need your help. So if you'd like to contribute, send a check to NEP House of Praise at 1850 Elm Street, Manchester, New Hampshire. Or you can go online, go to nephouseofpraise.org, and you can contribute by clicking on the donate button. We bless you and have a great day.